What is up, everybody? We are back again, or I am back again, I should say. We are on a little bit of a split schedule here heading into the divisional round playoffs, and I am going to break down the DraftKings main slate for you. We have a nice little four-gamer with obviously some pretty freaking awesome games and teams up ahead. So before I get started, please hit that thumbs up. Please subscribe if you haven't already. We are going to be dropping some showdown shows if you like playing the one-off kind of showdown games. Might even break down it from a gambling perspective later on from Joe. So got a lot more content coming to you. But before you do, like I said, hit that thumbs up. Helps us a ton. So let's go ahead and rock and roll here. So the four-game slate, what do we got? We have Houston at Baltimore tomorrow, kicking things off with a 43 total, and Baltimore being a 9.5-point favorite at home. Then in the afternoon game, we go Green Bay goes to San Francisco, where it's a 50.5 total in that one. Niners are a 9.5-point favorite as well. Then on Sunday, we have Tampa Bay and Detroit, 49-point total there, 6.5-point favorite to the home Lions. And then Kansas City makes its way up to Buffalo, where the Bills are a 3-point favorite, 45.5 total. So just looking at things from big picture view, obviously the totals are favoring both the Niners game and the Lions game. Weather conditions, Baltimore should be cold. I haven't seen too much about rain or anything else in that one. We should see a little bit of rain in the San Francisco game. I am currently sitting here about 45 miles from the stadium, and it is absolutely dumping right now, but tomorrow should not be heavy rain. Might get some sprinkles, might get some rain, but it's not going to pour all game long. And then obviously Detroit, we have a dome situation there. Nothing to worry about in Buffalo. My guess is it's going to be cold in Buffalo, but that's about it from what I can tell. So looking at the slate overall, again, the one thing that jumps out, obviously, guys, I know this is kind of Captain Obvious here, but all these teams are good, right? So we have a lot of really good players. I think for the most part, we have pretty concentrated offenses here who are pretty solid. And for a lot of these teams, their best players you're going to have to pay up for. So you're going to have to make some decisions here, depending on how many lineups you're playing, obviously, but can't play everybody like we always talk about. And you're going to have to kind of decide on what kind of construction you want to build and as well how to get different on this four-game slate. Like always, you can get off the board with a few one-offs, or you can overstack. You can do some different things here. And I think we have some tools that can help you out. So looking at the quarterback position, let's go ahead and run through it. We have Goff coming in right now, ownership-wise. Sorry, coming in ownership. Jared Goff is projected to be the highest-owned quarterback on the slate at 21%. Purdy, 18%. Lamar, 15%. Baker down at 13%. Josh Allen at 13%. Mahomes, 12%. And then Love and Stroud below 10%. I think when you're looking at it here, I mean, again, I think a big strategy you're seeing is a lot of people are going to want to pay down. Goff and Purdy being the most popular with Baker mixed in there. I think it's Goff and Purdy, Baker, in order to get some of these bigger name guys on the slate, aka Christian McCaffrey, Amon-Ra St. Brown, you name it, they're there. I think all three of those guys are very viable in this. I think I will be playing all three of those, no doubt about it. Same with Lamar Jackson and Josh Allen. I think Lamar, for obvious reasons, I think he does have probably the high, him and Josh Allen have the highest upside on the slate, in my opinion. Lamar, however, has a little bit easier of a matchup. Kansas City's defense has been fantastic. But as we've seen, Josh Allen has just been in absolute Superman mode lately. I think all five of these guys are very much in play. Patrick Mahomes, not my favorite quarterback on the slate at 6,800. Main reason is Kansas City's kind of found their formula, right? I think they've kind of come to grips over the season that they're not the offense from 3 years ago where they can just put up 40 points with Tyreek and Kelsey and just have this insanely explosive offense. They will run the ball with Pacheco. They're going to hit Rashee Rice. They're going to play, you know, ground control, game control. Let their defense play and win this game. So they're more than happy to not have all these explosive plays. They're more than happy to kick field goals and play the field position game. I think Mahomes is an okay play just simply from the ownership perspective, being 12%, kind of the third lowest on the slate. But in my opinion, I do think there's something to be said for Goff, who's in a great matchup here. Detroit has been giving up absolutely. They've just been getting shredded in the passing game. I think they've given up over 320, 330 yards in the last four or five games straight. We saw what Baker did, obviously, the other day to Philadelphia. Now, Detroit's got a little bit better defense, and they're not going to quit like Philadelphia. But I think Baker's got a good matchup. Goff, obviously, on the other side at home is where we want to play Jared Goff. When you look at kind of the optimal rates here, you know, I do think Goff and Purdy are kind of up top. Jared Goff is coming in at about a 16% optimal rate. Brock Purdy at 19. Once again, I think both are really good plays. Lamar coming in at 13 or so optimal, and Baker right there at 13% as well. Josh Allen at 12%. So again, I think the five most popular quarterbacks are probably the five best plays on the slate, in my opinion. Goff, Purdy, Lamar, Baker, and Josh Allen. If you want to get weird and get different, again, you can definitely play Patrick Mahomes. I think Jordan Love, a lot of people are flocking his way. I've seen, you know, it's funny, in the betting world, everybody in the world has taken Green Bay this week, it seems like, +9.5. The thing is, San Francisco is going to score points here. There's no doubt about it. I think in order for Green Bay to win this game, they're going to need over 30 points for sure. So how do you not like Jordan Love if you think that's the game script? The ownership doesn't quite reflect that here, which is just really interesting. So I'm curious to see how this plays out and how it actually shakes out when the lineup's locked tomorrow. But Jordan Love right now coming in at 6%. Only 9% in the optimal lineup. He does have some leverage here if you want to go that route and you want to get contrarian, or you do think they are again trailing. CJ Stroud is probably my least favorite quarterback on the slate. Look, rookie quarterback, he's been phenomenal this season, but he's in a tough matchup here going against Baltimore, one of the best defenses in the league. On the road, cold conditions, Baltimore is going to be absolutely fired up for this one. I just don't know if Houston has enough steam to really keep up with these guys. So that's kind of my big concern with CJ Stroud. We know Tank Dell is out. We know the weapons are kind of, waning a little bit for the Texans. So yeah, we'll see, man. I'm not going to be playing CJ Stroud this weekend, but I think there's definitely some people that will be. And I think, you know, he's had a good year. So if you want to go that route, you're going to be getting a 2% owned CJ Stroud. But it's not for me this week. Moving on, in terms of running back, this is going to be the question of the slate, guys. 51% owned Christian McCaffrey. He is the most expensive player on the slate, and he's going to be the highest owned player on the slate. I think he has, in my opinion, the safest floor on the slate. He also has the probably the biggest upside on the slate. So you have to decide, is it going to be a Christian McCaffrey game or is it not? I think he's a really good play. I'm probably going to be over the field on Christian McCaffrey this weekend and on the main slate, but it's up to you. There's a lot of people, obviously 50% of the field that's going to build their lineups without him. But look, Green Bay, they have a lot of trouble stopping the run. That's what the Niners want to do. If you have the conditions a little bit rainy and soggy, like we're expecting, I don't see how, you know, you really get away from Christian McCaffrey. If you're going to play three lineups, let's say, there's no way I'm full fading him. I think you can fade him, but again, if you fade him and he goes for 38, 39 points and no other running back approaches, let's say 20, you're in some trouble, a little bit. So, you know, buyer beware if you decide to fade him. Again, 51% ownership here. He's showing up in the optimal lineup 41, 42% of the time. That's pretty insane. So again, play Christian McCaffrey if you got the money. Fade at your own risk. It's all going to be dependent on what slate you're, what tournament you're playing, how you're building. In my opinion, I think he's a really damn good play still. Moving down in terms of ownership, we've got Rashad White, 32%, Devin Singletary at 30. We've got Aaron Jones, Pacheco, and James Cook kind of all in that high 20s, between 25 and 27% or so. Jahmyr Gibbs, low 20s, 21%. And that's kind of it, guys. David Montgomery's down here at 9%. Gus the Bus down here at 5%. If you want to go to Justice Hill, Ty Johnson, some of these guys, they're down in the 1, 2% range. So, yeah, this is kind of where everyone's going. McCaffrey, White, Singletary, Aaron Jones, Pacheco, Cook, Gibbs. For me, I am not going to be quite as high on Rashad White. I think Tampa is going to try to air this one out. Just again, I talked about how Detroit has been absolutely gashed through the air the last month or so of the season. I think this is their path to keep things close and get Detroit out of their element a little bit. Rashad White can still very much be a part of that. We've seen him have massive volume shares and volume throughout the season. At 6,500, I think he's a good play. In my opinion, he's not my favorite, but I could definitely see why you're going there. He's only showing up in the optimal about 20% of the time, but again, you are on a 4-game slate. So I think Rashad White's very viable. The one I don't understand necessarily is Devin Singletary. His base projection is coming in around 12 points, 30% owned. I get it. He's 5,700. But he's only showing up on the optimal 16% of the time. We just talked about how good Baltimore's defense is. I'm projecting Baltimore to score a lot in this one. I just think this game script is not right for Devin Singletary. I don't think the matchup's right. I would much rather find the $400 and go up to David Montgomery if I'm going to be paying down, or I'm going to pay up $200 and just play Gus the Bus and hope he pounds two into the end zone. But if you want to play Devin Singletary, those are the numbers. You're still going to be playing him with 30% of the other of the field. So that's why I'm kind of off of him. Aaron Jones, 27% owned. Look, I think he's been phenomenal this last 6 weeks or, month of the season. We all saw what he did against Dallas last week. Let me tell you, he's not going to be seeing the same matchup or the same running lanes as he did versus Dallas. The 49ers know that the way to beat Green Bay, it's the same offense. It's the same offense on the other side of the field. So they know you shut down the run game, slow Aaron Jones down, force Jordan Love to throw the ball 35, 40 plus times in this one. Your odds of winning this game are probably pretty high. I know Jordan Love's been phenomenal, but it all stems off of the running game and the play action and getting those linebackers and safeties up and creeping towards the run. I do think Aaron Jones is still a fine play. The reason is I think he has definitely pass catching upside, as we've seen in the past. He could definitely pop one in here. He's not my least favorite play on the slate, but definitely not my favorite, I would say, either. The two guys that I'm eyeing that probably will have right up there with McCaffrey in terms of my ownership is Pacheco and Cook. I just think this is a little bit more of a slower game. I think they're going to lean in the running game a little bit more. We saw James Cook actually involved in the passing game quite a bit last week with Gabe Davis out of the lineup. Isaiah Pacheco, look, he's the guy there in Kansas City. They're going to ride him until the wheels fall off on this one. Both defenses are pretty good. Kansas City's is better. But I don't think you can go wrong by playing either of these guys. The one thing that kind of jumps out is James Cook right now. Again, 25% ownership, but he's popping into the optimal 33% of the time, giving you an 8% leverage score on James Cook. So I think if you're going to play it, you lean that way. But both of these guys are in really good spots. The one that I was kind of higher on, and once the numbers kind of came out, that I started to pivot off of a little bit is Jahmyr Gibbs. One, he doesn't get the volume. Tampa does have a pretty good rushing defense here, but he is owned about, or his ownership is about 21%, and he's only showing up on the optimal 13% of the time. Look, that's 1% less than David Montgomery, which is very, very interesting. And David Montgomery is going to be 9% owned. So you're going to get, more than half of the ownership on Jahmyr Gibbs than you are David Montgomery, and you're going to get about the same projection. So I see where it's coming from. Gibbs, I think the one thing you have concern about is he does have that home run hitting ability. He could take a swing pass or, an arrow route and take that thing 70 yards to the house. So you got to be cognizant of that if you're going to not play him. If you do play him, that's what you're hoping for, obviously, and you hope he's involved in the passing game. The one thing that I do kind of agree with this, though, is Tampa Bay has really good linebackers with Devin White, Levante David. Both those guys can absolutely run. And so I don't think this is the best matchup necessarily for Gibbs, who they've used him to get out on slow linebackers and really take advantage of that. Maybe that's why David Montgomery's popping a little bit here. And again, you're getting kind of 5% leverage if you're going to play DeMont and Monty. So I think both guys are viable. You can play them again, 4-game slate. I'm going to have a little bit of both, and some of my more chalky builds, I'll probably play Montgomery, and some of my lineups that are a little bit less or more contrarian, let's say,
I'm probably leaning Gibbs. So that's how I'm going to approach it. I will have a little bit of Gus the Bus because, you know, we've seen some games here where, you know, Baltimore gets up and they lean heavy on the run game. And again, Gus the Bus is always liable to pop two touchdowns at 5,900. If he does that, you're in serious business. But again, he's not my favorite play on the slate. At 5% ownership, though, I'll take a few shots. The one guy that I was joking around in our Discord, if you guys are looking for kind of a Discord home and just to talk shop and talk ball and talk smack and everything else, feel free to pop in there. The link is in the summary here in the bio and the notes. I was asking if anyone's playing Dalvin Cook. He is active. John Harbaugh said he's going to play. We don't know how much. That could be zero carries. It could be five. It could be 12. But I'm very curious to see if Dalvin Cook at even 4K down here gets any run. I'm going to throw him in a lineup. Why not? Moving to receivers. I'll start flying through this a little bit here for you guys. Just kind of going off ownership. So Josh Reynolds at 31%. Jameson Williams up there at 30. Obviously, people like the Detroit passing game versus Tampa here. Khalil Shakir at 3,800, 29% owned. Rashee Rice, 27%. Amon-Ra St. Brown, 24. Chris Godwin, 19. And then it goes down below that where we have, I'm not going to name the ownership, but it kind of goes down 1-2 percentage points, starting at 18%. Zay Flowers, Brandon Ayuk, Stephon Diggs, Nico Collins, John Metchie, Jaden Reed, Debo Samuel, and Mike Evans coming in at 12% owned. And then you have Odell, Christian Watson, Trey Palmer, and some of these guys. A lot of people don't think Romeo Doubs bounces back with the same week, coming in at 7%. Down here, again, you got Mecole Hardman, Justin Watson, 5%, 6%. I don't think there's much else. Ontavian Wicks down at 2% with Christian Watson coming back. So that's kind of it. In terms of optimal rates, what we're looking at, Nico Collins up top at 29.6, then Amon-Ra 27, Rashee Rice 24, Shakir 24, Mike Evans and Ayuk. So I think the one thing to kind of look at here, in my opinion, on receiver, again, it's going to come down to your build. So if you're playing Christian McCaffrey, that's why some of these guys, Josh Reynolds, Jameson Williams, Khalil Shakir, are popping out, is being very highly owned. But I think Rashee Rice is a very good play on this slate. 24% of the time popping in the optimal. 6,800. Yes, I don't think necessarily has quite the same upside as Amon-Ra St. Brown, but he's projected 4 points less and he's 1,400 less. You're also getting, I know Amon-Ra's popping at 27 in the optimal. You're getting a couple percentage points off of that, but I think Rashee Rice is the guy, man. He's in a really good spot here. You know, obviously he's coming at 27% owned, so I'm not the only one who's noticing that, but I just think he's a really good play here. Chris Godwin's not showing up as a great play, but I think he's always in play in this offense. Let's see, kind of going down here. Zay Flowers showing up about even in terms of ownership and leverage. Brandon Ayuk showing up as a really good play here. I think Stephon Diggs is in a tough matchup against a Snead again, against Kansas City. Nico Collins is the one who's popping, man. And I did not see this one coming. They have him projected for 19 points, 29% of the time in the optimal lineup at 16% owned. So optimal, or, you know, the opto loves Nico Collins right now. Maybe that's because, you know, he's going to get the majority of the target share. Also, game script, they should be trailing Baltimore in this one. Hopefully, he's getting peppered with targets. I think that's kind of the game script they're thinking. Jaden Reed popped that zero last week, killed a lot of my lineups as I absolutely loved him. Should have played some Romeo, but they like him to bounce back a little bit here. Debo Samuel and Mike Evans. These are the two I want to talk about. I do think both of these guys have slate breaking upside. Both of them are coming at 12% ownership. I think they're very contrarian ways to get off of the chalk in this 4-game slate. I think you got to get a slice of Evans and Debo Samuel in your lineups this weekend. Because again, both of these guys have 2 to 3 touchdown upside, and both of them can just absolutely nuke the slate. If you have a 12% Mike Evans and he goes for 2 or 3 touchdowns in this one, you're going to want that on your roster. So there's definitely ways to do it. There's a reason why people are playing down at quarterback, but I think those two guys are very sneaky plays this week. Moving over to tight end. Look, ownership, Travis Kelce, 23%, Otten, 22%, Kittle, 21%, Dalton Kincaid, 18%, Likely, 15%, and Schultz at 13%. Laporta's only coming in at 5%. He popped up with the Q tag. I guess he's had the Q tag, but they said, you know, he's definitely questionable this week. So I don't know if he had a setback with his injury by playing last week in that game, but 5%, you know, if he's active, that might be a very interesting spot to play him. But yeah, I mean, I think the chalk kind of has it right here, right? Kelce, Otten had a great game last week, popping up in the optimal 14% of the time. For me, I'm probably going to go more. I would probably, if I'm paying up, Kelce's obviously a really good play. He's not what he was, but he's still pretty damn good. But I like Kittle and Kincaid as my two favorite tight ends on the slate. Kittle, we've seen him, just like I just talked about Deebo Samuel. You can't quite predict who it's going to be, but every once in a while, one of these Niner players has multiple touchdown upside in games and they blow up the entire slate. I'm willing to take that risk at 5,200 for George Kittle this week. I think he's a pretty, pretty strong play against a Packers defense and secondary that really struggles, especially the linebackers and safety position. So for me, George Kittle's my favorite tight end on the slate. Then it goes Kelce, then it goes Kincaid, Otten, and Likely. Yeah, keeping it simple. Moving to defense. Look, guys, I think you can kind of play a little bit of everyone. We made that point last week. We told you, you can play the Packers. Everyone projected the Cowboys to score 40 points. They scored 32 and they got housed, and the Packers defense got you home. So I think you could do pretty much anything. I think Houston, you know, is viable. I know that's, you know, they're a little bit more expensive, but we've seen Lamar have these playoff meltdowns before. He's fumbled the ball, you know, multiple times in a game. I think Detroit's viable. We've seen Baker do the same thing. Maybe I'm biased here. I'm not going to be playing Green Bay's defense. I think there's just too many ways where the Niners score in this one. And the one thing that Brock Purdy has been pretty good about in his career is not turning the ball over. As a Niner fan, I'm going to knock on wood here, but I just don't think Green Bay's got the upside there. I would much rather just pay $100 less and play Tampa's defense. I know they're going to be a little bit more highly owned, but we've seen Jared Goff do the same thing and turn the ball over. The other thing I like a little bit more about Tampa's defense is they're very aggressive. We saw them blitz Philly nonstop. If they think that's the way, they're going to do it and try to create turnovers, try to create fumbles, Goff into bad situations, you know, screw up the timing of that offense. So I think Tampa's probably my favorite pay down for sure. And then I think Baltimore and the Niners, if you're paying up, are totally fine. I think the Bills and Chiefs as well are both very fine. So kind of going back, you know, running it, you know, all the way back to the beginning here, I think there's a lot of ways to attack this slate. Hopefully that information was helpful for you guys. Quick little 24-25 minute pod, just to break it all down. I would say, you know, find ways to get some leverage and get different in your lineups. We saw last week, hell, look at Tampa, right? Everybody, including myself, you can throw on Philly. Their defense is absolutely terrible. So what'd we do? We loaded up on Mike Evans. Mike Evans did nothing. Trey Palmer, David Moore absolutely smashed. Kate Otten smashes. So Tampa did it. They got there. It was just not in the way that you thought. So if you have a bit kind of a belief on a game or on this slate overall, don't be afraid. For instance, if you think Detroit runs all over these guys, play David Montgomery, not Jahmyr Gibbs. If you think Kansas City gets there, you know, mix it up with the receivers. You don't have to go to the A+, you know, top matchup. That's not always the way to do it. It's not always the way it's going to get there. You know, if you want to fade Christian McCaffrey and think they get it through the air, well, I just told you that I think, you know, Deebo Samuel at 12% owned and George Kittle at 20% is a pretty good way off of Christian McCaffrey chalk. So there's a lot of ways to get different. Again, hit that thumbs up if you like the show. Feel free to drop us a comment if you have any questions or you like it. And yeah, good luck this weekend. Let's make some money. And that's all I got. Talk to y'all later.